With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How about that opening music, people? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. I'm Marcus, and I've brought three beautiful people along. Jim's the first one.
All right.
Pete's the second.
Yes, yes, flavour. Nice.
Finished?
Yeah.
And Luke's the third.
With a hairy chest, all right?
Well, that's me. Now, all throughout the month of October, the Ramble, that's us, we're in association with PES 2012. Pete?
Yes, we are, Marcus. We're sponsored by PES 2012, the footballer's football game for PS3 and 360, Xbox 360, because class is permanent. It's out on the 14th of this very month, okay?
You're damn right it is. Mm. Now then, let's move on to the opening question, shall we? It's an easy one. How would you punish Carlos Tevez? Jim?
What I would do, right, is I would loan him to somewhere like the Congo. Somewhere like deep, dark Africa. Somewhere where it's, you know, quite dodgy. You know, that sort of thing.
And who's the team from the Congo? Is it TP?
Oh, yeah, TP Mazembe.
Mazembe.
Yeah, let's say them. Yeah. We'll loan him to them.
Yeah, good, though. They're a decent team. They won the African Champions
League.
They'll
be even better with Carlito.
Yeah, exactly, they will. It's good for them. Well, that's it, yeah. And if I was Mancini, I'd say, yeah. So you still think Manchester's far away from your family, you dick splash?
What you should do is find the geographical exact point which is furthest the claim away from it. Send them on loan there.
Yeah. And if they move closer, you're loaning to a different club as they're on the plane. So he keeps staying away from them. Maybe someone in Iceland or something really. I'd send him somewhere bad.
Yeah. A welcome return to the
Siberia.
A welcome return to the slur. Dick splash there. I think we'll all agree. Pete, what have you got?
I'd make him do like a striptease at like the AGM or whatever, and it would have to be all sexy. But he wouldn't be allowed stripper's trousers. It would just be normal trousers, and he'd have a Stanley knife. So he'd end up with sliced up legs, but he'd still have to make it all sexy, which is difficult enough with his face.
You sicken me.
A horrible effort. Yeah.
Wow. I've smashed that. Well, he wouldn't get me the points last week when I clearly won it. So
he's having a bit of a temper.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, not going to give me the points, so I'm not going to try and get them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Which in turn, postmodern wise, I should get the points.
I'm playing with my confused. Marcus. Luke, quickly.
No.
No? You're not answering?
No.
Okay.
I am really. What I would do is I would send him basically to Portsmouth online. Well, think about it.
He'd learn his lesson quickly, wouldn't he?
He thinks Man City's bad. Imagine having to go up front with Dave Kitson, for one. Two, Portsmouth have traditionally, over the recent season or two, not been able to fill their bench. So he won't even have to go on, just make up the numbers. Yeah. It's a perfect football club. He's just got to sit in that space on the bench that we've needed someone to fill. So he'd send him to Portsmouth. He'll love it.
It's a little bit closer to his family as well.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
It is.
It would be, yeah, definitely.
Margins.
Yeah.
I would put him. I'd stick him to the big sign. Welcome to Manchester sign. I'd just have him up there. Ages. People would drive in and be able to like V him.
That doesn't seem like a long time ago, does it?
No,
I lost Tevez.
Backfired, isn't it?
My goodness,
no, it doesn't.
Jimbo's got the points.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, definitely not you and you.
Well,
or me.
Just said it's him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've specified an early specification. And as I said earlier, we are in association with PES 2012 for October. So for your chance to win a copy of the game, send your answers to the opening question every week for the month of October, and we'll pick out the best ones.
Yeah, send them to show@thefootballramble.com. Xbox.com.
And the funniest ones will win a copy of the game either on the Xbox 360 or PS3.
Please specify.
Yeah.
Mm. How about that? Now then, Spurs 2, Arsenal 1. Jim, I come to you first for this.
Yeah, it was an oddly flat game by the standards of that derby, I thought. It didn't have this sort of usual kind of rough and tumble. And yeah, exactly. There's zing and zip about it. But it was, a frustrating performance from Arsenal. The sort of fluidity of passing that we've come to expect from them just seems to be gone. And it looks like it might just not be coming back. It might not just be like a sort of a lack of form. It's just that that seems to have gone out of the game. And the ball was given away so cheaply on so many occasions. I'm gutted for Chesney as well, because he made some really, really good saves in that game. And then to just let that one...
He's had a good season so far.
Yeah, ridiculously.
He's had to have.
Yeah, that's right. Given how many goals Arsenal have conceded, he's made some really... some genuinely world-class saves this early on already. And it, for him to just... you know, flap at that as he did. Or just, it's
well,
like
I think that's
slap
harsh
it
to
away.
Call it a flap. I mean, he saw it late and it moved an awful lot in the air, didn't it?
Yeah, but he's got to be doing better with that, you know.
He's probably, scared that one of his defenders is going to hoof it in, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, there's no point parrying this. That's what he was thinking.
Don't want to have to make a double save, do I?
Jim, what did you think about... Coquelin instead of Frimpong? Did you think he didn't pick Frimpong because of his sort of temperament?
Possibly, yeah. I think that would be the thinking behind it. I think Coquelin did well.
The middle three were okay. And to be fair to Glenn Hoddle, he called it before the game. He said, they're going to have three in the middle. Spurs may struggle. And I think Arsenal did sort of control patches of the game, but they just couldn't sort of capitalise. Mm.
Just, yeah, I mean, the period after Spurs scored the second, they just sort of fell apart. It's just that they panic a bit, it seems like. And they rush it. It seems like they don't think about the passes they're playing, you know, properly, and they just do them and then think about it afterwards, and they've given the ball away. It's just, possession was lost cheaply so many times.
Arsenal have got players out though. That's
of course.
I think loads. Both sides have got loads. They've got quite a few.
Jack Wilshere's going to be out for a long, long time.
Yeah. Gary Neville made a nice, interesting point when he was on the co-commentary. He said that when Arsenal were looking, like you said, they started to fall apart a little bit towards the end. Neville was saying that he was a big believer, or that he was always brought up at United to think or believe that you shouldn't change your way of playing. When we mentioned it a few weeks ago about Barcelona, if they go a goal down, they're behind, they don't change the way they play. Mm. And Neville was trying to impress that on Arsenal, saying they shouldn't. They should carry on going the way they go, because they get a lot of the possession anyway.
Yeah.
But obviously, it didn't work out for them. Yeah. It was a good hit by Walker, though.
Oh, well, goal, absolutely. Yeah. And that was a very, very good goal. He's a good player.
He had a great game. But, I mean, Jim, do you think that, you know, Arsenal obviously not had the best of starts. They go to Spurs, hard place to go at the best of times. I mean, they've lost 2-1. They've created chances. Probably should have gone in at half time. Certainly not down. Maybe even up. Mm. It's only the type of goal that, slightly unfortunate, as we say, with the change of movement of the ball. It's not that bad. I know it's a North London derby, and of course it's disappointing.
It wasn't like a humbling, was it? I think
it's come to something, isn't it?
Exactly, it really has.
Because
you fear that before every big game at the moment, the way things have gone. And obviously, you know, the United result was ridiculous, and that was because, you know, as has been said before, like, some of the players in that team, they just work in the bar at the Emirates. You know, they were so sort of like decimated by injuries and stuff. But so that is a bit of a kind of a...
What about Van der Vaart's goal, though? Did you think... I thought there was probably a touch handball about that.
Yeah, but it's so marginal, isn't it, that you can't really be angry about that. You see them giving, you see them not giving. I think it maybe would have been a little harsh on Van der Vaart, because it did seem to sort of hit the kind of the top of his, almost his armpit, you know. It's
as demonstrated by you there.
Yeah. Did Glenn Hoddle say if he didn't have a left arm he's not scoring that, or someone said that? Odd thing to say.
Irrelevant.
Probably wouldn't have gone so far.
He'd be unbalanced.
It wasn't the only derby going on the weekend. Everton 0 Liverpool 2. Harsh sending off on Rodwell, do you think?
Oh, very much so.
He sends off a lot of players, Martin Atkinson. I don't think that's a sort of excuse to have a pop at him.
He did fly in in a stupid area. Like, there was no reason for him to go in with quite so much gusto. You know, he wasn't...
The ref was right on top of it, though, Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but...
And his studs weren't up.
I know what you mean, Pete. I just think...
It just seemed like a very strong challenge for what was basically the centre circle, as I recall. It wasn't that far out of the centre circle, was it?
It was close. No. He won the ball very cleanly. I didn't think that was a sending off at all.
No, I didn't. Suarez didn't look to make a meal of it, though, so...
Certainly if that was it... Certainly if that was a red card. Fellaini did exactly the same thing 2 minutes later, and the ref couldn't do any... Like, the ref didn't do anything. Didn't even get a yellow. It just seemed really weird. Well, if anything, that was a worse challenge.
It was definitely
worse. That's the trouble. When the referee makes such a decision, then all the other decisions come under heavy scrutiny.
He was scared to give anything else. I enjoyed Suarez's post-match interview, where he looked like he was sweating and he looked worried, and he genuinely looked like somebody
like
had a gun
caught.
Off. Yeah, it was like a proper, I'm sorry for what I've done, I'm sorry.
he speaks good English, doesn't he, Suarez?
Yeah, he's working on it.
As is Andy Carroll. Well worth the 35 million.
Yeah, he speaks good English as well.
Oh, the English. Yeah. Well worth £35 million.
He looked up for the match. He looked up, didn't
he? He has gone some way towards paying off his transfer fee with that goal, Marcus.
That's what I was looking for.
He is. He pulled away from Disto really nicely, though. Smart little move.
He did, but the problem with it was Disto was a lot to blame, because it ended up with a situation where the ball came over from the left and Carroll was being marked by Baines. Mm-hmm. It's a mismatch. What's Distan doing getting drawn to the ball? Yeah. So I know it's a nice bit of movement from Carroll, but Distan should be a little bit cuter than that and should have been marking him more so tightly.
Answered questions.
The Suarez goal was really strange. It was like he sort of pushed Baines and Distan over. It seemed. Yeah. It looked like almost he had it like his superpower. If he touched someone, they would immediately become slapstick. It's really odd.
Clever play.
Probably left.
Yeah. I think the masseuse at Arsenal's got that skill.
Yeah. Oh, and that wasn't the only derby that happened on the weekend.
A Lancashire hot pot of a derby.
It was the West London derby between Fulham and QPR.
I thought it was Blackburn Man City. That's a derby, isn't it?
Depending on how far away from the earth you are.
In relative terms,
it's from often, a distance, it's the world looks blue and green.
It's often using correctly that term, isn't it? Because a derby, the dictionary definition of a derby is an unusually fiercely competitive game. You guys mean local derby, which is slightly different.
I always mean local derby, yeah. Luke.
Yeah. I mean Terence Trent derby. So.
A lot of passion.
What about Fulham, mate? What about those Fulhams?
Yeah, I didn't see the game, but they took QPR to the cleans. And QPR are a sort of a strangely inconsistent side at the moment.
They are.
I mean, I've seen them play once or twice this season, particularly the Wolves game. They played very well. Barton was excellent, and but they've completely capitulated against QPR today.
Mm. Andy Johnson hat trick.
Sorry, against Fulham, not against QPR, because they are QPR. I'm not talking about.
Yeah,
well, they're their own worst enemies.
Johnson 5 goals in 2 games, because he's got a couple in the Europa League. Did you see his second in the Europa League? What a touch. Mm. Bergkamp-esque. I don't think he got enough praise for that.
In the Premier League, we have got some firing strikers, it's fair to say.
Andy Johnson's just one of those players. I mean, he can stay fit. There's no end to where he can go. Because can you remember when he was on the... I mean, I think he did play for England a few times, but he got farmed out wide a lot, didn't he?
I was thinking about that. It's funny. Only a few years ago, he started up front for England away in Israel in an important qualifier. It's quite crazy to think.
Mm. Did he not spend an awful lot of the sort of little England time he got out wide and stuff, though?
Yeah, he did.
Treated quite badly.
Yeah, he was kind of used for his pace out there, wasn't he? Which just beggars belief. It's like, why would you pick a player to not play
just
in their position?
Pick a pacey wide man.
Yeah. There's loads.
Oh, dear, dear.
Talking to Pierce, people are talking about Agbonlahor for the England team once again.
I love the fact that Agbonlahor is now playing really well again, because he's with the manager, doesn't ask him to do anything complicated. Julia's clearly a tactically astute man.
Yeah.
Probably comes up with all these different tactical diagrams, and Agbonlahor hasn't got a clue what's happening. Like, last season, he got about 3 goals, didn't he? Now, Alex McLeish has probably said, get yourself on there and run around about
Just get your head down with the ball.
Well, apparently a big part of the reason Joe Cole was sold by Chelsea was because he just couldn't understand Ancelotti's tactics. He'd tell him to do stuff and he couldn't do it. He just didn't get it.
Gerrard did that, but just sort of did what he wanted on the ball. I can't understand you, so I'm going to do what I want.
English footballers. It really is a case of that.
Here we go.
Go on.
Gabriel Agbonlahor.
Ooh.
When he screws his face up, Rupert Fryer.
Oh, Ramble Blogger.
Yeah, Ramble Fryer. Blogger Rupert Fryer for South American football.
I don't think Rupert Fryer will be happy with that.
I hope he's not listening.
You look like a screwed up Gabriel Agbonlahor.
Rupert doesn't follow tactical instructions, does he?
No.
Only joking, Rupert. We love you, man. Yes, Manchester City beat Blackburn 4-0 away. Come on, we're Tevez saga, what do we all reckon?
I think
he should have to strip, right?
Should he have to rot, like Mr. McQueen said the other day on Sky Sports?
Here's what I think. I think he did it on purpose. I think he staged it and did it on purpose, because there's no end of ways he could have got out of not playing that game. He didn't have to travel all the way to Munich if he didn't want to. He could have said he was injured. He could have said he felt like he had a little knock or something. He wouldn't have had to play. He could have said to Mancini at any point, look, I've got a strain, I can't play. But he didn't. He made it a real set piece thing and tried to force Mancini's hand and to make this all blow up to what it was.
He embarrassed Mancini, which is just terrible to put him in that
position. He's come out of it quite well, though, Mancini, hasn't he?
Oh, of course, yeah.
With the full support of his fans and stuff.
Not only has he embarrassed him, he's actually set out to embarrass him on purpose. And it's a disgrace.
It is.
And but then, I mean, we've got to say at the time, obviously, this is an alleged yeah. sort of.
yes, yeah. Like,
yeah. It's very hard to sort of prove one way or the other, but there is somebody did make the point that Mancini's son did the exact same thing, and he was not punished at pre season. So.
Paul Scholes did it as well. Paul Scholes did it back in 2001.
Yeah, but not from the bench, though.
Yeah.
No, but he refused to travel for a League Cup game.
It is funny, though, and I think you tweeted this, Luke, didn't you? The Paul Scholes article, to look back on it from 10 years ago, it was all Scholes, relations between Alex Ferguson and Scholes are really strained now, with Juventus looking likely to sign him and all this. It describes a situation you can't even fathom. Yeah.
Talk about him going on loan to Sunderland in that article as well. No disrespect to Sunderland, of course. But I'll tell you what was great.
Brooks wasn't there for one.
Exactly, yeah. On goals on Sunday this weekend, just gone, the Ginola was on it. He said, they asked him about it, and he said, well, when I played at Villa under Gregory, I was hugely disappointed with the comments that Gregory made in the press about me being overweight.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and but he said, I didn't want to go on, I didn't want to play, and he kept putting me on the bench because I was 34, however old he was. And he came on.
He did.
And he scored against Man City. That's right. Bullet, and he ripped his shirt off. And he's absolutely ripped. Yeah. And I was thinking, Gregory, are you out of your mind?
Well, he was, of course. But yeah, he gave it the...
You
the,
fat
the,
bitch. The...
He was complete six-pack.
Yeah. Oh, was it fully ripped?
Immaculate.
Immaculate. Yeah. Yeah. And he flexed the guns as well in celebration over towards him, I think. Yeah. That was glorious. Yeah. Absolutely glorious.
So what do you guys foresee happening with the Tevez saga? Because, I mean, there's so many different sort of potential things that can happen. Everyone's thinking sort of knockdown price, sale, January. They can't really just stick him in the reserves and let him rot there because he's got something in his contract that means he needs to be considered for.
I think everyone has under the sort of terms of a PFA sort of agreement or something.
Forget and forgive.
Nah, you can't do that. Come on.
That's what you said about Barton. Look what happened. He'll be shipped out. But the thing is, where
what does Barton think about it? Is Barton popped up?
I think they'll take a heavy cut, as you say, in January.
But you don't even need to disclose things nowadays. You can just put it as undisclosed. Just pretend that you...
Yeah, that's true.
They should have taken a hit on him and just taken the loss and got rid of him.
Now, obviously...
It'd be interesting, to see if he accepts the wage cut that he'll have to take, because that seems to have been an issue before as well.
But Jim, the point is, he doesn't... The irony, or if it's irony or not, I'm not sure, but he doesn't seem to realise that the way he behaves is impeding him chance of getting another move.
Absolutely.
Because people are going to go, well, I'm not going to pay for that.
But surely contractually, you sort of saying, if he's on the bench, he should be able to play. So presumably, if he's happy to sit on the bench, contractually, he's broken his contract by not coming on to play football.
So maybe they can just
destroy his conduct or something.
They couldn't just tear
it's
his
funny though, if you, up. If you look at the history of Tevez, where he's been at various clubs, he's fallen out pretty much everywhere.
Oh, he's a dick. He is. He's a
talented
babyish diva. Scholes. I mean, he's been the same with the Argentinian national side. Like,
that's right.
Angry to not get ahead over.
Yeah, but he's very popular amongst the Argentinian people. They see him as like a man of the people, don't they?
Some of them do. It's a bit like the Maradona situation. I think that you're more the guys in the I forget the Argentinian word for favelas, but
Barrios.
The Barrios. Thank you. Those kind of guys, they look at Tevez and go, yeah, he's kind of one of us and all the rest of it. But you're more perhaps. Learned football fans just think, nah, sod you. And in the same way, they thought that of Maradona as the appointment there.
Scholes said something interesting, speaking of him. He said he gave an interview with Paul Hayward on The Observer at the weekend.
He said that
he felt that Mancini was messing Tevez around.
Yeah,
that Tevez was top scorer last season. He deserved to be in the team, no matter how difficult he was and stuff.
But, I mean, part of the reason they signed Aguero, I don't care what they say about how they wanted to sign him anyway, was because clearly they thought Tevez was going to go. So they needed to have him in there for that possible eventuality.
Yeah.
And Tevez, you know, he made all that noise. Aguero's there. Aguero's playing really well. He's a better player than him.
Yeah.
And he gets in the Argentinian national side ahead of him as well, which Tevez has also kicked off about before. And it's just, you know... Tough shit, basically. Just bad luck, pal.
Yeah, you never were a manager, Jimbo, and that is a regret for all of us.
Jim's more of a tactician, not a man.
That's true. Just to end on that, I did find it funny. Obviously, Ferguson came in support of Mancini. Maradona said Ferguson shouldn't be commenting on the issue. What are you doing commenting on the issue? Is what I'd like to know.
What do you know about this?
You should be kicking kids.
Exactly, yeah.
And all other things that you've done throughout life at various stages. United did beat Norwich City 2-0. Norwich City had the chances.
I felt bad for them. I mean, every time I've seen them play this season, saw a big part of the United game, and saw the game they played against Chelsea as well. Didn't play too bad. They've got a couple of wins under their belt though.
That's right.
They're doing all right, but they're so unlucky. And it's a huge cliche, but a lot of these cliches are based in truth. You've got to take your chances.
Oh.
They had chances against United at Old Trafford, and it's the worst I've seen United play this season. Mm. And they were there for the taking, they really were.
Yeah, I mean, United, it's like the mask has slipped a bit. The game against Basel, it's just, where did that come from?
But they couldn't keep up the intensity of performance they've been doing so far. It's going to fall off. Valencia's not a right back, is it?
No, that's an odd one.
We've certainly found that out, haven't we?
I tweeted that, how long is it going to take Ferguson to realise that Valencia's not a right back? And everyone tweeted, oh, there's no one else to play there. There's no one else to play
Got
there.
Back three then.
So I tweeted back, libero. Get your back three in there. You know, get big Phil Jones playing libero.
Yeah, we've championed that position, or that defensive lineup certainly. I did quite like Norwich's goalkeeping choices that day. Their first choice goalkeeper, Ruddy, on the bench, Rudd.
Yeah. Yeah, John Ruddy and Declan Rudd.
There you go. Sticking with goalkeepers, David
Their
De Gea.
Their third choice keeper is called Ra.
I'd wish it was. David De Gea was caught stealing a Krispy Kreme donut in a Tesco's in Altrincham.
It's the king of donuts, though, to be fair. They are the best donuts.
They're really good.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to steal.
I don't know why celebrities do that. Winona Ryder, Adam Ricketts. Yeah. Don't worry, everyone, that's confirmed in the newspapers. I don't check. But I mean, like
Ben Johnson,
and he's the most conspicuous, gigantic man.
Yeah.
You'd be able to see him shoving that into his mouth over the bloody counter, over the you know, shelves and
well,
stuff.
Well, actually, it was in the magazine aisle.
Oh,
was it in the magazine aisle? Yeah. Oh, don't get donut on the magazines, David De Gea. You big idiot. Yeah.
He's been given a caution.
Yeah. And so, rightly so.
Yeah.
Should be making an example of.
He should be eating donuts, to be fair.
He is a bloody donut.
To be honest, I bet Ferguson will batter him.
No, it doesn't work.
It does work.
It's made of batter donuts.
Oh, come
Jim,
on.
Come on.
It's tenuous.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah. It's more than I expected.
Right then, it's something completely different, but still staying in the Premier League. Andreas Villas-Boas, not just a Premier League manager, he owns 5 motorbikes.
Well, it's not a job, is it?
Motorbike owner.
You didn't let me finish. He absolutely loves it. He says, I have a bit of a crazy head, so I like enduro bikes. He goes to the mountains with the big rocks and almost kill myself, he said.
Surely a mountain is just a big rock.
Well, is that a direct quote?
It is, yeah. He hopes to do the Dakar trek. Now, that was originally France to Senegal. What a journey that is. Yeah. Up until 2009. But now it is in South America, from Peru through the Atacama Desert in Chile into Argentina.
I love a bit of that, wouldn't you, Mark?
Well, I did it, but over about 3 weeks.
Did you? Not on a motorbike?
Yeah, I let someone else do the driving.
A lot of elevation. You wouldn't get much
do you like that, Andrew,
oxygen up there.
Abramovich will be like thinking, right, if the results go south, I know I can stage this. No motorbikes, you say. I've got one for you.
Hey, I've got this new petrol. It is very flammable.
I'll just hit the brakes. No point. It works perfectly.
Do it when you get to Chile. You won't need them.
Exactly, yeah. Best test them when you're doing a lot of speed.
Into the Championship we go. Vicente got his first for Brighton away at Ipswich, but they lost 3-1.
Great hit as well with his right peg.
It's always going to be a great hit from that man. Chopra scoring too.
Yeah,
the great thing about Chopper is he gambles on the last man and the horses and the greyhounds. He'll gamble on anything. He has got a problem with gambling.
And he stand on the shoulder of the defender and go, I'll bet you a tenner, I'll bet you this.
It's not how it works.
Betting, but what are you doing, Chopper? I'm betting in play now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In his mind, there's just a big Ray Winston head floating around going, go on.
That's so weird, Abbott, because Ray Winston's head pops up. All right, lads, all right. Do you fancy a bit of in-play action? I'm not sure what you mean by that, Ray.
You've got a big head. Yeah. What can no one else see? I think I've had a funny paint.
To be fair to Vicente, I've not seen him score an awful lot of his right peg. I mean, is he more two-footed than I realise or something?
He's trying to prove that, suggesting. He's out to impress you, Luke.
I mean, Ipswich, after a sort of dodgy start, do you remember they got absolutely destroyed 7-1 by Peterborough, and they lost 5-2 at home to Southampton as well.
Yeah.
But the last few games they've done alright. 10 points out of 12 or something now.
It takes a while for the aroma of Keane, Roy Keane, to leave here. You know,
it's fear.
I still think Keane's taking a bit of credit. It's the fear factor. It's the fear factor. Or the factor of having to watch the Paul Jewell sex tape.
I'll put it on.
It's been a while since that's got
too mention. Long, some would
it's
say.
Well, yeah.
Whenever teams are playing a Paul Jewell team, they should have to watch that before the game. Yeah. Just so they can
on the big
laugh
screen.
At it.
On the big screen.
This is what you're up against.
One of the highlights from
BMW.
One of the highlights from the Championship for me, Blackpool 5, Bristol City 0. Shelvey, who I think is online from Liverpool.
Yeah, he is.
It's like a 45-yard free kick.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, the keeper will be obviously disappointed, and it wasn't quite sort of Juninho, Pernambucano Romero-esque, but yeah. Still, decent strike.
To be fair, though, they had a lot. Jilks, he's not a championship goalkeeper. He should be playing at a much higher level, and he's definitely England's loss, and Scotland have done really well to sort of steal him, even though he's not Scottish in the slightest.
But, doesn't matter.
I love that keeper.
He's decent.
Blackpool have been good. They were unlucky against Portsmouth. They should have beaten Portsmouth at Fratton Park, and they're undone by a last minute goal. Good goal as well. Shelby's a good player. He's only missing out playing at Liverpool because remember they signed him from Charlton. He's really highly rated. He's only missing out because they've signed so many players. Mm. And don't forget, he also once got his penis out on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Silly move.
Yeah.
You'll regret that.
I did.
In later life.
With people like us around.
Let's go to League One, where Huddersfield beat Brentford 4-0 away, now gone 36 games unbeaten, which is which is the Football League's longest ever unbeaten run. Lee Clark at the helm there.
Lee Clark's done that before, though.
He's a handsome man, Lee Clark.
His ratio is 157 matches, 36 losses.
That's brilliant.
That's an
excellent ratio. I mean, he's won 78, so it's around about half the matches he's won. But
that's really good, though.
He's a really, really good manager. He sounds like an idiot, but he's consistently been my favourite Newcastle player.
When's he going to get the job?
He will be Newcastle manager in the future. I guarantee it, because he's doing so well. He's done so well. He's brought in great people as well behind him, and you know
that would be great. Get the Cockney Mafia out. Get Lee Clark in.
To be fair to Newcastle, they're doing all right.
They've got quite an unbeaten run, haven't they?
They've not really played anyone good yet, have they?
No, we have got Spurs next, but then by mid November I think we got Chelsea, but. Other than that,
the only results I can think of note have been the Tyne Tees Derby, and the game against Arsenal.
We've been playing well, we've been defending well, but we nearly chucked it away against Mick McCarthy. But we've been doing well. It's all down to our midfield pairing of Tiote and Kabai.
Bar's doing his bit, isn't he?
Mm. Bar's doing his bit. Yeah.
I saw him interviewed on Football Focus the other day, and he was just talking a lot about his time at Newcastle, how much he's enjoying it. And the guy interviewing him said to him, so have you learnt any Geordie? And he just went, what is this?
What is
really
this?
Really made me laugh.
The interviewer went, you have?
And speaking of Newcastle, obviously, Sammy Amiobi, we've gone through his tweets before. There was a notable one yesterday, or I think it might have been this morning, where he says, I'm trying to read my book and somebody next door is playing some loud classical music. And then about two minutes later, it was a radio in a cupboard.
Raises so many questions. Firstly, I'm sure he was really colouring in that bit.
But then he blamed Barr. He said, me and Barr were really confused. Oh, don't bring Denver Barr into it.
Yeah.
I love him. I bloody love him.
So, great stuff. What, was it in his own cupboard?
Yeah, it was in his own cupboard.
Who turned it on?
Yes. I don't know.
Denver Barr?
Best not ask.
We were in League One, and we're going to just finish up there by saying Charlton, who are top. Good away win at Sheffield United. They're going really well under Chris Powell, former player, of course. It was nice to see at the end of that game, he had his team huddled around him on the pitch, and it looked as though he was giving them an absolute roasting, but he wasn't. He was praising them for a great performance and just how well they've done this season, and you know, keep it going, lads, and a lot of encouragement. So real good group
cohesion. I think Charlton signed an awful lot of players, didn't they? And he's done well to get them all working together so quickly, I think. Charlton, you know, come on, they're a Premier League club a few years ago.
Of course, but they're down there, and Powell's been brought in.
It'll be a real slog to get him out of there as well, so he's doing well.
Yeah, no, doing very well. Now the SPL. Hearts 2, Celtic 0. Do my eyes deceive me, Pete? No, they don't.
Go on.
Let's not be silly. I don't think Hearts are going to win the league. But
what are we doing here then?
No.
You just ruined one of my favourite parts of Cumbria, hot, stinky room every week. Say your thing about the Gorgie boy.
Hang on a minute.
Alright,
Chris Commons was sent off, but Hearts were still 1-0 up then. But even if Celtic win the game, and they'll still be 7 points adrift of Rangers, so it's a race for second place with Motherwell leading the way, boys. I do fancy the magnificent Gorgie boy to finish second though.
Everyone had all their eyes on Fife against Forfar, didn't they? Because it was 3-3. They were 3-3, were they?
It was 4-3 in the other thing. Forfar 4, East 5-3, I think.
Nice. Doesn't get much bigger than that in that particular part.
I think I've got that right. Apologies if I haven't.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on to La Liga?
Yes.
Okay. Sergio Canales scored his first for Valencia in a 1-0 win against Granada. Lovely strike. He's going away from goal and then sort of whipped it yeah. into the bottom
he
corner.
Swept it in.
Can you remember? Yeah, it was. Can you remember how disappointed we were when he signed from Racing? Because
to Real Madrid.
Yeah, we really wanted him to sort of stay there for another year. Yeah. There was talk of him loaning him back for another year.
That's right. You're right.
We wanted to go somewhere where he would play a lot because he's obviously a great talent. So it's good that he's gone loan somewhere where he's getting games.
But yeah. is it odd though? But is it odd that Madrid have loaned him to one of their rivals?
I don't think, you know, Madrid have got one rival realistically. Yeah. I don't. I really think the sort of the gap between them, the top two and the rest is that big that they can do that.
Levante are the two big. Levante and Betis. Levante are top now. They beat Betis away 1-0, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, one of the games of the weekend for me, Malaga Getafe.
Right,
Getafe, Pedro Leon for them scored a peach.
Yeah, he's on loan from Madrid as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Chest and volley. It was beautiful stuff, and that was should have been the goal of the weekend. It wasn't even the goal of the game.
Enter the beast. Enter Arsenal Hall of Famer Julio the Beast.
I miss that guy. I wish he'd whip his shirt off and see what is going on under there.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
are you wearing a barrel?
Ruud van Nistelrooy equalised, and then Getafe went ahead, and then Malaga equalised on the 88th, and then a ridiculous overhead kick into the top corner from the Beast. Yeah. How long did he hang in the air and just whip his other leg? It was
a dictionary. Definition of technique.
Yeah,
I would just love like sort of it cut to the car park and there is a cup full of water like in Jurassic Park and you just see it sort of shaking. Yeah, yeah. It's 88th minute. It's coming.
It was unbelievable. And then the celebratory pylon ensued with the subs and all.
He can take it.
Yeah. everyone got involved.
How good was it?
Yeah,
they are the moments in football that you have to cherish the most. People, let me tell you. Baptiste. It was also his 30th birthday. As well, and he's just become a father, and it's all happening. Yeah. It's all happening for the big man. What a weekend for him.
Good on him.
Now, there was a slight surprise on last Friday, in Madrid, as the Real Madrid players went to training. They thought it was training as usual, but instead Jose and co had put on a barbecue for the players. It was done so the players could kind of mingle, get to know each other and grow closer.
They should know each other by now.
It's so odd.
It's like they're taking the piss out of the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I tell you, posting all these pictures on Twitter and going, we don't even have to train anymore.
One, two, barbecue with Real Madrid, Dan Mourinho.
The players tweeted, I have a really hard day today at the club, eating loads of meat.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who love a barbecue, the Uruguay national team.
Remember that shot of them having one?
How big was the barbecue?
Yeah, it was huge.
Absolute class. And that was the beef on the grill, wasn't it?
Beef on the grill time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right then, off to Serie A. Inter nil, Napoli 3. Inter down to 10 men. Joel Obi was sent off for Inter. Ranieri sent to the stands at half time for complaining too much to the ref.
Yeah, he chipped off after the game as well. Said, he sort of tried to stop him for that. He sort of went, the referee's had a bad night tonight. I am just saying this to let him know. Or something like that, anyway. He didn't quite commit to the rant.
Tinkering with his own opinion.
He was correct to moan though, because Campagnaro, who put the rebound in from the penalty, he was already inside the box, mind you, as were a couple of
he encroached, but so did the Inter players.
Wasn't a penalty either. It was outside the box, the foul.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ranieri at a barbecue though? Like, he's just constantly sort of moving the sort of the beef. And I'd get off, Ranieri. It's not going to cook otherwise. Leave it where
Stop
it is.
Stop flipping it.
I think we need more lighter fuel. Get away.
Napoli going really well. Their coach, Walter Mazzarri, turned 50 on Saturday. He thanked his players and said, "It's a beautiful present the boys have given me."
Oh, what a nice man.
Did you see his jacket when they played against Man City?
Yeah, I didn't
flashy
like it.
Number,
I didn't
was.
Like it.
Elsewhere in Italy, Milan president and Italian Prime Minister, it's always worth remembering, Silvio Berlusconi said this about his Milan team: "This season we will win everything. We are stronger than Barcelona."
Not in the same league, so
yeah, exactly.
Cannot win La Liga. He needs to know.
Hopefully,
that.
By then you'll be in prison.
Yeah. He'll have a nice cell, to be fair. Yeah, he'll have telly.
I'll build on my own prison like Pablo Escobar.
That's right. Now in Russia, the club we keep on going on about, Angie, have appointed Roberto Carlos as player coach.
Don't see that anymore, do you?
No, we have said that before.
I bet he's put on some heft. Surely he will. He looked like he was.
Last time I saw him, he looked all right. But I mean, I don't think he's going through the most strenuous of training regimes, but he looks all right.
I'm worrying for his big fat legs.
Yeah,
he's
just going to turn to fat.
Yeah, he's going to look like bloody Beyonce. Yeah.
He's going to look like the Michelin Man. Yeah. Now he was saying that they've been talking about certain players they want to bring in, and Carlos said that he's been talking to the owner. The names of Lampard, Gerrard, and Robert Pires.
Two out of three won't go. Exactly. I guarantee you that.
Why are Pires in there?
Yeah, a good player he was, but not in the same bracket, perhaps. Mm. And then, of course, Capello, Hiddink, Luxemburgo, and Scolari.
What's players?
As Auburn, you've got to have.
I still fancy Capello in the middle of the park.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and Ancelotti. That'd be amazing.
It certainly would be something, wouldn't it? Now, Adidas have released the boot with a brain. Have we seen this, gentlemen?
Yes, it's Adidas My Coach, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. There's a speed cell chip placed in the boot, which kind of it can measure key performance metrics like speed and distance, number of sprints, all that kind of stuff, you know, that often players have cameras set aside to them.
Yeah.
The clubs use that kind of data, don't they? Well, you can buy them yourself and you can compare yourself to the pros.
I mean, you can't really do like passes completed and stuff.
Sure, I don't know why you'd want to do that, because it would just reinforce the gulf. It would be the most discouraging thing for a young player.
It's like the sort of flash footballer's equivalent of, you know, when rappers have like a telly in the boot of their car.
Just unnecessary. If you're going to put someone in there, you probably don't want them to have a lot of comfort.
No. Well, it depends what you put on.
That's true.
You put on something horrible.
I've often thought, when you see players, like when they get subbed off or whatever, and it says distance covered 16 kilometres or something, I think if I got subbed off and I had my stats, there's no way I'd be anywhere probably 3 kilometres maximum.
Near Archway tube station there is a bus stop, and on this advert for cereal, some crazy person has written in big marker pen, if you can put a microchip as big as a grain of rice inside the body, you've got to wonder where the voices are coming from. And I was thinking, you wrote that when you saw a cereal poster. Like, that's never angered me enough. No. To say, right!
The people in North London.
People in North London.
Speaking of anger, did you see the amount of stick that Suarez was getting taking corners for Liverpool at Everton?
Wait, he was getting a lot of things thrown at him when Bellamy had
Bellamy as well, wasn't it? Yeah, getting all sorts of stuff thrown.
How is that allowed? Yeah. Throwing plastic bottles at
people. It didn't seem to happen at the White Hart Lane, though. No. When Van Persie was taking corner, people were shouting, but they weren't throwing.
The people of North London again. Yeah. And now it's time for Going for Gold.
It is time for Glowing for Gold.
Glowing for Gold. You're going to glow.
Going for Gold. Gold.
Jimbo's in the lead, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
Right. Well, this is going to test you.
Someone said on Twitter the other day to me that I don't like going for gold because it reveals you all for having much less knowledge than I thought.
They even listened.
Forget the previous 4 years.
It's your fault for thinking I had that much knowledge, not mine.
I don't think you're as sexy anymore. Mm. It's not my fault. Mm. Right. Your first clue, gentlemen. I scored my last goal at the age of 38.
Stop. Paolo Maldini.
No.
Seriously, that's my line. That's
okay, sorry.
I am chairman of the team I scored it for.
Stop.
Stop!
I said it first.
Niall Quinn?
No.
Not bad.
I have played in Brazil, Scotland, Spain, England and Australia.
Ooh. So, say that again, please.
This is new.
Yeah. Can you repeat the clue, please?
I have played in Brazil, Scotland, Spain, England, and Australia.
No, I've got nothing.
I'm spent. I played more games for Big Phil Scolari's current team than any other. I have 49 caps for my country and 5 goals. The next two are key.
They better be, because I'm struggling here.
Again.
I'm sure the people at home won't be guessing this anytime soon. I have won the World Cup and the League Cup. I'm 5'5.5".
Stop. Janinho?
Janinho.
Oh, yes!
There we go. Get in there!
There we go.
The Scotland clue confused me.
Yeah, for Celtic, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to guess Niall Quinn as well when you guessed it.
Yeah. So are we on 3-3 now?
We are indeed.
3-3-1-1.
I'm having an absolute mess.
It's because you don't know anything about football.
Yeah, it's true, actually. I did say that the first time you asked me if I wanted to do a podcast. But you didn't listen.
Let's listen to the emails, though.
Thank you for your
email.
Lady.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Pete's got the first one. Have you, Pete?
Have I? I think I have, yeah.
There it is, over there.
Oh, here it is. Is mine the totty one? Mm-hmm. Here it is. Mine is the totty one. This is from Darren Huckabee's barber, apparently.
I was wondering what we're going to hear from him.
And it's sent from his iPad. Ooh.
Oh, look at you. Pathetic.
Ooh, tablet.
You know what I need a lot as a barber?
No, it's gone for gold.
Ramblers, having listened to your podcast this evening, I can shed a bit of light on Totti's sense of humour. As I understand it, Totti had a reputation in Italy of being a bit of a divvy. Think of an Italian Jason McAteer, and you're apparently very close.
Wow.
I don't think I want him to compare to McAteer, really.
he is also apparently a very stereotypical Roman with a very thick, lampoonable Roman accent.
I've heard that, yep.
Therefore, his joke books are akin to a collection of Irish jokes, but are instead Totti jokes. I think that this format actually became a TV show at one stage, or at least one was planned, in which people were encouraged to ask themselves the question, are you as stupid as Francesco Totti?
Hi.
Come on.
This is hugely disrespectful.
Darren Huckabee's barber, thank you for the information, but I do not endorse it one bit.
He deserves a lot of credit for being able to laugh at himself and saving himself up and stuff, but I mean, come on, have a bit of respect for yourself, Francesco Totti.
I like it.
You're all for it, Jim?
Yeah, I like it.
But you look a bit like a poor man's Totti, actually. Similar colour hair.
I really don't.
Before you think that, could be correct, it's not.
Yeah. Now read your email.
I've got an email, and I'm going to read it. Greetings, all. Hello. As well, listeners. whilst listening to some vintage rambles from days gone by in an attempt to get me through the Wednesday, I decided it was time to dust off my tales of funny things heard at football grounds and thus resurrect an old ramble favourite. All of these were overheard at Loftus Road. During a pre-season friendly against Ajax, in reaction to a misplaced pass, a particularly rotund but strangely well-spoken member of the crowd rose to his feet, puffed out his chest and exclaimed, "Not there, you buffoon!"
Oh, nice.
During said friendly, he also shouted at one of the flashy members of the Ajax team, "Take your blue boots and go elsewhere."
Go elsewhere.
Odd. From the elderly gentleman next to me that always starts shouting before he's decided what he's going to say, "Big not you big dick."
Big not you big dick.
Mm.
Right.
Coming from a lad in front of me, a young lad who had to walk the tightrope between shouting at players and teams while avoiding swearing in front of his dad, "Ipswich, you bin bags."
Bin bags.
So it's just an insight into the bizarre world that is Loftus Road. That's from Alfie Hill. Thank you very
much.
Cheers,
Alfie. Yeah, we should definitely resurrect the funny things heard at football grounds because it's definitely good.
Yeah.
That's what brought us Bring Out the Jelly. Lest we forget.
Was that QPR?
I think I was thinking that.
For Bring Out the Jelly? What was that?
Someone just shouted it randomly. Yeah. No, someone just shouted it randomly.
But was he not referencing a player or something?
I don't know. There's obviously a.
You're talking about John Parkin.
Yeah. John Parkin said it. And he was getting subbed off, clapped everyone off. Bring on the jelly. He got a big bath of it.
Yeah.
QPR's a sombrero man as well, remember?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot goes on at QPR. It's one of my favourite grounds to visit.
Yeah, it's class. Yeah. In the Premier League now, for crying out loud.
Mm.
For a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Now then, let's start with a quote from former Italy international Roberto Gallia. He said, "I played against Maradona, Platini and Baggio, but the one capable of the most incredible skills was Michael
Simon."
I should have known.
But you didn't.
No, I should have. But the one player capable of the most incredible skills was
Danny Tiato.
Shut up! That's the first punch on the rail. Was Michael Laudrup.
Michael Laudrup.
I have some respect.
Sorry, come Michael. On. I apologise absolutely unreservedly. What a player. What a player. Still, one of the players, although he's probably late 40s now, one of the players.
He could still do it.
Oh, brilliant. He'd be brilliant now, even so. He'd stand in the centre circle in like a League Two game and just knock it about.
Yeah. Owning the pitch.
The range of passing was like sat-nav-esque.
Yeah.
Speaking
of sat-navs, before you go into this, I really should tell you that I read a great story about Royston Drenthe when he first signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
He was given a brand new car with a sat-nav, right? And he was driving down the road. This is a few years ago, apparently. Yeah. He was driving down the road trying to get to his new place or going somewhere, and the sat-nav said, "Turn right now." So we just turned right straight away into a police car.
he's not done anything too mental at Everton yet, but it's going to happen.
Don't worry about that.
His middle name is Ricky. Royston Ricky Drenthe. Sorry, I've sidetracked the profile. Apologies.
You have. That's all right. Another apology from Luke Moore there. Now then, you can redeem yourself by doing a little mathematical equation. Well, it's hardly an equation. He was born on the 15th of June, 1964.
3 years before the summer of love.
Easy one.
Yeah.
And that's what Laudrup does. He enables people to have a better time and makes it easy for you.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Now then, well, that was his birthday. Michael Laudrup, from a very footballing family. Obviously, his younger brother, Brian, went on to be a very good player, but his father, Finn Laudrup, was a Danish international.
Was his grandfather not a player as well?
His uncle was a former player and coach, Ebbe Skovdal, who Aberdeen fans will know well. Michael Laudrup, at the tender age of 13, he turned down the chance to go to the Ajax youth setup to hone his skills in his homeland. So already, he was turning heads a very young player indeed. Now, he made his senior debut for KB at the age of 17 and then moved to bigger club Brøndby in 1982. He was voted Danish Player of the Year at 18 and he was also third top goalscorer that season. Bearing in mind he was a central midfield player.
He's won some awards, Laudrup. Yeah. He's won some absolutely outrageous awards.
He never won the Ballon d'Or, which is such a
he won the Don Ballon, the Spanish overseas player.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It's part of the Don Ballon, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that country's not been massively blessed with players, Denmark, I think it's fair to say. Strong teams, but they've not had such strong individuals as him.
Yeah. He's unquestionably the greatest Danish player of all time. I think so. Yeah.
That's why he went abroad, Pete.
Yeah.
But before he did that, he made his. It wasn't before; it was just after. But he made his international debut around that time. And 2 years later, he played for Denmark at the Euro '84 Championships. Now Juventus came in for him in '83, but there was a two foreigner rule in Serie A, so he was loaned straight away to Lazio.
You are too foreigner, mate. Get out.
He did well there at Lazio before returning to Turin to play for Juve. And for Juventus, he won the league in his first year there. This was the same year, 1986, where he had a great World Cup with Denmark in Mexico. Scored a lovely one against Uruguay in the first round. You've seen it. He did an individual goal. He just glides through the defence and just the keeper just sort of dives out of his way and then he just
incredibly graceful player.
Yeah.
Like the sort of player looks like he's not really touching the ground when he's running.
Yeah.
And he doesn't ever look like he's putting too much effort.
Never sweats.
Yeah, he's never flashy for me. He's just sort of it's like a business like really really talented.
But he did amazing things but just in a really everyday sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would it sounds very very basic way of putting it, but he'd just run round players and make it look like they were the players themselves weren't trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Every move was very necessary.
You mentioned he went to Juventus and they won Serie A straight away. It's a pattern. There's a pattern to that. You'll come on to it as a pattern. Everywhere he goes, trophy.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, just staying briefly with that lovely moment against Uruguay when he scored. It inspired Copenhagen Royal Opera soloist Guido Paevatalu to write, in his honour, the Laudrup song.
How did they know which Laudrup brother it was about?
Well, I don't think Brian was on the scene at that time.
Oh, okay.
Michael would have still been a young player. Now,
was it as good as the ketchup song?
I'm willing to say yes without hearing it.
They should have done like a really aggressive hip-hop song. Could have been the Michael Loud rap.
He's a Royal Opera soloist.
The ketchup song's about Akinfenwell.
Right, we're going to press on.
He's a soloist.
Honestly. Relevant because it was a solo goal. They also beat the Germans in that group, went through in first position, but they were hammered by Spain in the second round. But that was when the world really got a good old look at Michael Laudrup. Now, Michel Platini was the main man for Juventus at that time. He retired in 1987, and Laudrup was meant to be the man to fill his formidable boots, and it didn't quite work out like that. It was always going to be very difficult, of course, but I don't think Laudrup quite fitted in, perhaps, to the system at Juventus. But interestingly enough, Platini said this about Laudrup. He said, he was one of the greatest talents of all time. He was the best player in the world during training, but he never exploited all his qualities on the pitch. Michael had everything apart from one thing. He wasn't selfish enough.
Yeah, some people also say, I can't remember who said it, but a manager famously said about him, he's him at 80% is better than anyone else on the pitch.
I think it was Johan Cruyff.
But I can't get him to play 100%. I can't get 100% out of him.
I think it was Johan Cruyff. I think him and Johan Cruyff, well, we'll move on to this, but obviously two huge characters, you know, especially Big Johan.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was actually...
Laudrup didn't... I mean, he got quite a few goals for ostensibly a sort of playmaker.
Oh, he got loads of goals.
But he loved a slip. He loved a slip. Rather than a sort of an 18, 20-yard strike, he'll have a slip.
Yeah, totally. Now, some suggest that it was this unselfishness that he possessed. Johan Cruyff, who was the manager of Barcelona at the time, liked about Laudrup. He would fit into that Barcelona side. The dream team, of course, it became to be known as. He'd sit in there quite nicely, setting up the likes of Stoich Hitchcock and the Parson move, and so on and so forth. Cruyff gave him a free role when he moved there in the late 80s, and Laudrup excelled in this. And on the Barcelona website, you can find this written about Michelino Laudrup, as they put it. They said that he was the artist of the dream team, a creative player of such elegance that it was often joked that he was the kind of player that could play in coat and tails.
Yeah. Now, that would be an interesting kit.
It would be an excellent kit.
His change of direction was really good as well. He changed on like a 10 pence, but
he used to do that thing where he'd look one way and then pass the other way. You know?
The old no-look pass, you can't beat that.
That was a real trademark, wasn't it?
He was also a great finisher of moves. He'd start them and get on the end of them as well. Yeah. He scored a lot of one-on-ones, you know, but would never miss. He would just glide through and slot quite nicely. Scored a lot of goals, had a real good hit on him, and what vision had.
Incredible vision, yeah.
Do you know what as well? He was an absolute git for a classy assist. And that, you know, that scooping pass that you often see Xavi play, when he'll just scoop it over the defence and Messi will run in and score. And Fabregas has got on the end of one or two this season. I swear they must have been influenced by Michael Laudrup, because that scooping pass, he did it for Denmark against Nigeria in the 98 World Cup. I think it was Emil Sanders.
They got beat about 4-1, didn't they, or something?
Denmark won 4-1.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the scoop over. And it's so hard to defend against.
Yeah.
So hard. He's absolutely incredible at that.
I wouldn't surprise me if they were influenced by him, because you get the impression that a lot of Barcelona players are very well-versed in the history of the club and stuff. You know, they're sort of well taught about it.
Well, Andres Iniesta says he's his favourite player.
Blimey.
So there you go. There's an endorsement for you. He was considered the finest passer of the ball in the world at the time, and Barca fans used to hang a banner up at the Nou Camp reading "Enjoy Laudrup."
Succinct. They should put that on their little terms of use when you sell you a ticket.
Yeah.
0.5, no smoking. 0.6, enjoy Laudrup.
Please enjoy Laudrup responsibly.
Yeah,
that's right. 93 goals in 288 games for Barca. Incredible for a midfielder. I'm sure, as you say, he's influenced many Barcelona midfielders currently playing with his playing style. So a very important player, no doubt, in the club's history, a modern history. José Maria Baquero, do you remember him?
Played
9 years at Barcelona and was there for all of Laudrup's years at the club. Said, "No one has given Barcelona as much inspiration as Michael. We all looked up to him. It is a privilege to have your day enriched by a genius."
I mean, he really is an all-time great. I think Laudrup's very, very underrated. Yeah, I remember it was just such a joy to watch.
He won 4 La Ligas for Barcelona in the years he was there. It was always a trophy.
Didn't they win 4 in a row, actually?
They won 4 in a row,
And then hadn't won for one for a while. Madrid were bossing it before.
This was Cruyff's dream team. You know, and he was arguably the heartbeat of that side. He won a Copa del Rey and the European Cup in 1992.
At Wembley. Against Sampdoria.
Yeah. 92 was a funny year for him. He missed out on the European Championship win with Denmark, which is just crazy.
Yeah. Him and Brian, they fell out.
No, Brian was there.
They fell out. Oh, was it? Okay, but they fell out of Richard Müller-Nielsen.
I think Jan Mulby missed that as well.
Did he?
He did. Yeah, they fell out with the manager. I don't know what it was over, but there was a piece about
Michael
Laudrup.
He did fall out with the manager, but Denmark hadn't qualified for the tournament, as we all perhaps remember, or certainly some of us. And Yugoslavia, who went through kind of ahead of them due to the conflict in that former nation, they were not allowed to participate. So Denmark took their place. Mm. Now, you've got to remember, Denmark, well, obviously, they've never been a great powerhouse in world football, and they weren't back then. They had failed to qualify, for crying out loud, and they went to that tournament through the back door without, by far, their best player, and greatest ever player, and they end up winning the whole thing. Yeah. It is remarkable. Well, and such a sickener for him not to be involved.
The fact that they can miss players like, Michael Laudrup and Jan Mulby, if anything, it just goes to show the strength of John Jensen.
Worth a mention. Yeah.
Well, when there's a big, massive piece of the jigsaw missing, you've got to raise your game, and maybe that's what happened. Maybe they won because of, rather than in spite of.
Michael Laudrup was known as the sort of poor man's John Jensen anyway. It makes sense. I didn't know where that nickname came from before, but you just pointed out to me.
I was going
to
finish on that. and
finish with a quote, and John Jensen said, "Yeah, he was just a poor man's me, really."
Anyway, he managed to patch things up with the coach eventually and carried on playing for his country. Now, when Barca signed Romario, they needed to rotate players due to the 3-4 rule in Europe, and Laudrup was left out of the European Cup final when they were beaten 4-0 by Milan, and that was the end of his time, really.
Capello said that galvanised his players, didn't
he?
he said that was the biggest thing, biggest boost they could have had.
That's right. He said he feared Michael Laudrup the most, and Croft made the mistake of leaving him out. So yeah. So after these events, Laudrup sensationally signed for Real Madrid, won the league in his first season with them.
Yeah, the my favourite fact about that is when in his, I think I'm right in saying, I'm sure many listeners will point out if I'm not, that he, when he was at Barcelona, they beat Real Madrid 5-0. Mm, yeah. He went to Real Madrid and they beat Barcelona 5-0.
Yeah. isn't there a quote from that where he said something like, you know, I've played in two of the you know, the two of the biggest games in Spain and the score is 10-0 to me.
Weird like that. Really out of character.
Thousands of people signed a petition to stop him going at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Thousands of fans did. He was very astute, though, because he said, it was after World Cup 94 he moved, wasn't it? And he said, I knew that Barcelona had loads of players going to the World Cup, and traditionally I looked into it, and traditionally like, teams tend to struggle after a World Cup tournament when they've had a lot of players missing.
Oh, is that right?
But Real Madrid didn't have that many players going, yeah. So I decided to make the move. And I'm not from Barcelona, I'm not from Madrid, yep. So for me it didn't make any difference. But I think he underestimated the reaction when he played in the return game.
That's
didn't
right,
he?
Yeah.
But it's incredible how often that happens. Players going from Barca to Madrid.
Yeah. That happens quite a lot. So yeah, that was.
Well, it's happened with. Well, I don't know if it happens a lot, but it happens with big name players. I mean, yeah. It happened with Figo, didn't it?
Yeah, Prosinecki as well.
Yeah,
and
but he didn't go direct between.
Well, no, but it's, even so, I think that shows like Ronaldo as well.
Ronaldo,
it's,
yeah.
I think Luis Enrique played for both.
Yeah,
if I'm correct there, maybe not there. Anyway, he got his revenge, of course, against Barcelona. Oh, was it revenge? Well, certainly enjoyed his moment.
He
there.
Won't ever commit to which team he prefers.
Yeah,
either.
That's right. That's right. Raúl said in 2006 that. Michael Laudrup was
pass to me.
He said he was the best player he ever played with. Now, he may have changed his mind in the last 5 years, but still. 2006. Luis Figo said Laudrup was the best player.
I think he has, because he played with Thomas Gravesen.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, so.
Figo said Laudrup was the best player he ever played against. Now, Ivan Zamorano, remember the Chilean forward, who was at Madrid at the same time as Laudrup, wasn't having the best of times when Laudrup showed up. Zamorano won the Pichichi Award in Spain, top goal scorer, and 82% of Zamorano's goals were assisted by Michael Laudrup.
Love it.
That is
love
incredible.
Yeah.
During his time at Madrid, he did win.
His tagline should be enabling you to enjoy your football. Yeah, making things better for you.
Just enjoying.
Yeah.
Hey, Zamorano, can I come around your house and have some food? No. How many goals?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll do the cooking.
Yeah. I think I'll have that shirt off your back as well, if you don't mind. And that Pichichi Award.
Can I have a go in your car? Thank you.
You'll enjoy the ride more.
I've unlocked the defence. I'm unlocking your car, mate.
Yeah. And when I say car, I mean wife.
Yeah. And when I say unlocking, I mean
easy.
Yeah. Her out for a nice lamb lunch.
A lamb lunch there. Now, during his time at Madrid, he did win a trophy with Denmark, the 1995 King Fahd Cup, which is now known as the Confederations Cup.
It's not bad.
There you go.
Decent enough, isn't it?
Hey, Jimbo.
I'd love it if England won it.
You've still got the tournoi, mate.
Yeah.
The tournoi.
I can't take that off us.
He was only at Madrid for two seasons and then went to play in Japan for a year before returning to Europe with Ajax for one last season.
Where he was quite decent.
League and Cup double.
Yeah, I think he's got a really good scoring record for Ajax in his last year.
Yeah. And his last ever match was at World Cup 98. Crazy to think, Euro 84.
Yeah.
He played in that and then World Cup 98. And Denmark had a great tournament. They reached the quarterfinals only to be beaten 3-2 by Brazil. They had beaten Nigeria, of course, 4-1, I think it was, in the previous round. But Denmark, after they were eliminated, Michael Laudrup said, that was the last match of my career, but it was also one of the best, if not the best.
Yes, they really made Brazil work for that.
Yeah. They did indeed. It was a piece of Rivaldo brilliance, I think, that won the game. But Laudrup has since gone on to become a manager with great success in his homeland with Bromby. Mixed fortunes abroad with Getafe, Spartak Moscow, and more recently, Real Mallorca. But it's as a player that we're inducting him today. And I'll leave the final words to the great Franz Beckenbauer, who said in the 60s the best player was Pelé. In the 70s it was Cruyff. In the 80s it was Maradona. And in the 90s it was Laudrup.
Come in, Michael Laudrup.
I hope you enjoy Michael Laudrup.
I think Romario named him in like his top five players of all time as well, but behind himself.
Him. Yeah, yeah. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble. If you would like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Jimbo.
On the website this week, there are blogs on the precedent set by the Adrian Mutu case with regards to what City can do with Carlos Tevez, Norwich City and how they're faring in the Premier League, new dwarfer Michael Laudrup, who you just heard about. There's a blog about him and much, much more than that. There's also Pick Live, where you can win money by playing live fantasy football. There's a Hall of Fame, the Forum, loads of stuff. Get on over there.
Pick
And obviously, as you mentioned at the start of the show, we are sponsored by PES 2012. Forever evolving, forever football, forever Pro Evo. That's what we are for the month of October. Visit us at, or rather visit them at facebook.com/PES for more information, all right?
And don't forget to get your answers into the opening question, how you'd punish Carlos Tevez for a chance to win a copy of that game on Xbox 360 or PS3.
When are we getting our copies? Because I want to go on his face.
Same. Enter the competition.
Yeah. That last
I did
answer,
and I didn't get the points.
And I'll win it.
Although, finally, the points actually mean something.
Yeah.
For a listener, at least.
Can I say, with well, absolute certainty, points mean prizes.
Yeah. God bless PES 2012. That's what I say.
Right then, say goodbye, Jimbo.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Hello.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
There we are. Enjoy yourselves, people. See you next week.
It's later than you think.
Loudrup. It's the Ghostbusters defenders as though they don't exist. This is going to be one of the goals of the tournament. Magnificent.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Ladybird.
Enjoy
man.
Yourself.
Ladybird,
while angry. You're still in it, do. Life goes past.
Who's this?
Faster than you blink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
I like that.
Tsunami.
This is a song about a party in the North Pole. It's called Snowshoe Barbecue. 1, 2, 3, 4. Chicken wings, creating a meaty beef bean stew. Charcoal, one goal, grilled fish to perfection. The face that I'm gonna make could cause a huge erection. Filling with an ice cube, playing with my Rubik's Cube. We're cooking up a snowshoe barbecue. Filling with an ice cube, playing with my Rubik's Cube. We're cooking up a snowshoe barbecue. Oh shit, what's that? It's another shark attack. This cold, nothing can be exposed, except not even your back crack. Some say blubber is made of all fat, but I am, man, I am Eskimo, and I do not agree with that. We got a cold walk home, and we don't have a phone, and this is absolutely like not being in Rome. There's no need for one refrigerator, because maybe that's what we need, that's what we need. A snowshoe barbecue. Okay, this is the audience participation part of the song. So everybody just repeat after me really loud. Everybody say snowshoe barbecue. Snowshoe barbecue. Everybody say ho. Say ho ho. Say ho ho ho. Now scream. Cooking with an ice cube, like with my Rubik's Cube. Cooking up a snowshoe barbecue. Thank you. This is a song about people who think that the direction north is the same thing as the direction up, and how these people can and will go to hell.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.